الحمد لله احمده واستعينه واستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له اشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى and he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. They seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I welcome all of you in our Tuesday class, which we've been conducted for the last approximately 5 to 6 months, which we usually deal with the book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective. For Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And our work concerning this book, that we give more details about the hadith as well as the fiqh of understanding of the hadith as well as the authenticity of the hadith also. So today inshallah, which is Tuesday, the last day of Shawwal for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 16th of February for the year 1999, and this will be, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, our third class concerning Hajj after the introduction. So this is the fourth class with the introduction, and this is considered the third class concerning Bulugh al-Maram. And today inshallah we're going to be talking about Babu Sifat al-Hajji wa Dukhuli Mecca. And this is the book of Bulugh al-Maram, chapter 5, page number 256. Chapter 5, the nature of the Hajj, pilgrimage, and entering Mecca. And inshallah today we're going to be dealing with hadith number 607. عن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حج فخرجنا معه حتى إذا أتينا ذا الحليفة فولدت أسماء بنت عميس فقال اغتسلي واستفري بثوب واحرمي. وصلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المسجد ثم ركب القصواء حتى اذا استوت به على البيداء اهل بالتوحيد لبيك اللهم لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك ان الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. حتى اذا اتينا البيت استلم الركن فرمل ثلاثا ومشى اربعا ثم اتى مقام ابراهيم فصلى ثم رجع الى الركن فاستلمه ثم خرج من الباب الى الصفا فلما دنا من الصفا قرأ ان الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله. ابدأ بما بدأ الله به فرقي الصفا حتى رأى البيت فاستقبل القبلة فوحد الله وكبره وقال لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا اله الا الله انجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الاحزاب وحده. ثم دعا بين ذلك فقال مثل هذا ثلاث مرات ثم نزل من الصفا الى المروة حتى اذا انصبت قدماه في بطن الوادي سعى حتى اذا صعد مشي الى المروة ففعل على المروة كما فعل على الصفا. فذكر الحديث عليكم السلام. وفيه فلما كان يوم التروية توجهوا الى منى وركب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى بها الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء والفجر ثم مكث قليلا حتى طلعت الشمس فاجاز حتى اتى عرفة فوجد القبة قد ضربت له بنمرة فنزل بها حتى اذا زالت الشمس امر بالقصواء فرحلت له فاتى بطن الوادي فخطب الناس ثم اذن ثم اقام فصلى الظهر ثم اقام فصلى العصر ولم يصلي بينهما شيئا ثم ركب حتى اتى الموقف فجعل بطن ناقته القصواء الى الصخرات وجعل جبل المشاة بين يديه واستقبل القبلة فلم يزل واقفا حتى غربت الشمس وذهبت الصفرة قليلا حتى اذا غاب القرص دفعا وقد شنق للقصواء الزمام حتى ان رأسها لا يصيب مورق رحله ويقول بيده اليمنى يا ايها الناس السكينة السكينة. وكلما اتى جبلا ارخى لها قليلا حتى تصعد حتى اتى المزدلفة فصلى بها المغرب والعشاء باذان واحد واقامتين ولم يسبح بينهما شيئا ثم اضجع حتى طلع الفجر فصلى الفجر حين تبين له الصبح باذان واقامة ثم ركب حتى اتى المشعر الحرام فاستقبل القبلة فدعا وكبر وهلل فلم يزل واقفا حتى اصفر جدا فدفع قبل ان تطلع الشمس حتى اتى بطن محصر في حصاة منها كل حصاة مثل حصاء الخذف رمى من بطن الوادي ثم انصرف الى المنحر فنحر ثم ركب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فافاض الى البيت فصلى بمكة الظهر رواه مسلم مطولا. يريد حبيب basically this hadith inshallah, which in the collection of Imam Muslim and reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah, is a description of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the moment that he left his house until he performed all his Hajj. Inshallah, we're going to ask Brother Habib to read it, and after this I'm going to give you some little bit details on it inshallah.
Jabir bin Abdullah, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performed the Hajj and we went out with him. When we reached Dhul Hulayfa, Asma, daughter of Umayyis, gave birth. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take a bath, bandage your private parts with a cloth, and put on the ihram. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed in the mosque. Praise and grace are yours and the dominion. You have no partner. When we came to the house, he touched the corner and ran 3 times round the house and walked 4 times round the house. Then he came to the place of Ibrahim and prayed. He then returned to the corner and touched it, after which he went out by the gate to As-Safa. On coming near to which he recited, As-Safa and Al-Marwa are among the signs appointed by Allah, adding, I begin with what Allah began with. So he mounted As-Safa till he saw the house. Then he faced the Qibla, declared Allah's oneness, proclaimed his greatness, and said, there is no God but Allah alone, who has no partner. To him belongs the dominion. To him praise is due, and he is omnipotent. There is no God but Allah alone, who alone has fulfilled his promise, helped his slave, and vanquished the confederates. He then made supplication in the course of that, saying such words 3 times. He next descended from As-Safa to Al-Marwa, and when he came down into the bottom of the valley, he ran. And when he began to ascend, he walked till he reached Al-Marwa. There he did as he had done at As-Safa. The narrator reported the rest of the hadith, and it contains, when it was Yawm At-Tarwiyah, they came towards Mina, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rode and prayed there Al-Zuhr, Al-Asr, Al-Maghrib, Al-Isha, and Al-Fajr Salah. After that, he waited a little till the sun rose. Then he proceeded till he came to Arafah and found that the tent had been set up for him at Namira. There he dismounted, and when the sun had passed the meridian, he ordered Al-Qaswa to be brought. And when it was saddled for him, he went down into the valley and addressed the people. He then ordered the Azan, then the Iqama, to be uttered, and he prayed Az-Zuhr, Salah. He then ordered the Iqama to be uttered and prayed Al-Asr, Salah, engaging in no prayer between the two. He then mounted his camel and came to the place of standing, making his she-camel Al-Qaswa turn its back to the rock, and having the path taken by those who went on foot in front of him. He faced the Qibla and remained standing till sunset, when the yellow light had somewhat gone and the disk of the sun had disappeared. He went quickly, pulling the halter of Al-Qaswa forcefully so that its head was about to touch the foreside of his saddle, gesturing with his right hand and saying, you people, be tranquil, be tranquil. And whenever he happened to pass over an elevated tract of sand, he slightly loosened the halter so that it should climb up. When he came to Al-Muzdalifa, he prayed Al-Maghrib and Al-Isha prayer with one Azan and two Iqama, without saying the glorification of Allah between them. He then lay down till dawn and prayed Al-Fajr with an Azan and an iqama when the morning light was clear. He then mounted till he came to al-Mash'ar, al-Haram. He faced the Qibla, supplicated Allah, declared his greatness and his oneness, and kept standing till the daylight was very clear. He then went quickly before the sun rose till he came to the valley of Muhassa. He urged the camel a little and followed the middle road which comes out at the big Jamra. He came to the Jamra which is beside the tree. At this he threw 7 small pebbles, uttering the takbir each time he threw a pebble, and each pebble was as small as a date stone. He threw them from the bottom of the valley, then went to the place of sacrifice and sacrificed. After that, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mounted, and going quickly to the house, prayed a Zuhr Salah in Mecca, reported by Muslim through a long hadith.
Thank you. Again, as I stated, this is description for the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it came in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi and reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him. And in this hadith, we first thing we see that an incident took place which Asma bint Ubayis, which she was married to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and during the Hajj preparation she gave birth to Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr, and she felt this as a problem due to her bleeding. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told her for her to take a shower and for her to bandage her private parts in a manner that the blood to be not to be dripping from her while she's traveling, and this is not going to be a way of violating her her Hajj. So even if the woman have menses, bleeding after childbirth, whatever this kind of bleeding is not, is going to be the prevention from her to make her intention or to go for Hajj or to go for Umrah. This is the first thing that we learn from this hadith. The second issue that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't start his talbiyah, the saying of labbaik Allahumma labbaik, until he was there by the miqat, the station that he was supposed to make the talbiyah from. That a person when he in the proper place that he supposed to make his talbiyah by saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, which means that you uttering this word saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm here at your command, at your service, I'm here because you order me and made this as obligation on me to make Hajj. So I am here as a result of your call and your command. I am here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also that the person admitted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has no partner beside him, that all the praise and all the favor is from Allah and all the kingdom is belong to Allah. There is no partner beside him in whatever that he given, or there is no partner beside him in the praise or any manner or sharing anything with the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this talbiyah going to be repeated at different occasions, but he went directly to say when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Mecca. Okay, so this incident concerning the bleeding of Asma and concerning the talbiyah, this was taking place in the way to Mecca. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived there to Mecca, Mecca and to the Kaaba, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived there. He started by reaching the corner, which is the black stone in it, and this is where the start of the person who making Hajj. And the black stone in one of the corner of the Kaaba. We have four corners, actually, or two corners, which is the original corner that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba. One is the Rukn al-Yamani, which is the direction of Yemen, and the other Rukn, or the other corner, which is the black stone on it, okay? There is other two corners, but these other two corners, they are not the original corners which is the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had built the Kaaba. Therefore, he will find something about 4 feet approximately, like a half circle around the Kaaba. This is which is supposed to be the extension of the original building of the Kaaba. So you're going to start your tawaf, okay, by reaching to the black stone, if you can reach it, by touching it, by kissing it, and from there you're going to start your circles or rounding the Kaaba, what you call tawaf. The first three rounds that you're going to make ramal, what is mean that the person will be almost like running, but not running to in a manner that he will disturb the people or be stepping over the people, okay, is like very, very close steps to each other, okay. I'm wired here with all this wire, so I don't know how to move, but I think I... So let's assume this is the Kaaba here, and you're going to be running, watch this water, okay? So you're going to be doing like exactly something like this, okay? In the first three rounds around the Kaaba. And every time when you come to this corner, which is Rukn al-Yamani, okay, you're going to walk, okay? And when you come to the black stone, you're going to kiss it or touch it if you can, and after this you're going to go again running, okay? Not running too fast, okay? But this is the manner of running that is going to be. And this is going to be for what? For the first three rounds around the Kaaba. And after this, how many times we're supposed to go? 7 times. And after this is the rest of the tawaf is going to be a regular walking. Okay? So this is what he says, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to the Kaaba, when he reached the Bayt, he reached to the house, to the Kaaba, which he went to the black stone, he kissed it and he started. And this will be the corner of the Kaaba. This is where you're going to start your tawaf, okay? And you're going to go three rounds around the Kaaba in what you may call it running, and after this four more will be walking. فَرَمَلَ ثَلَاثًا وَمَشَى أَرْبَعًا. And he walked for four. And after this, after you do this seven round, you will go to Maqam Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim. Now this is here the corner of Yemen. Here is the black stone. And the station of Ibrahim will be approximately here. Okay? And the door of the Kaaba will be in this area here. So you have this corner when you start your tawaf from here. Okay? So now after you finish this round, you're going to come here in this area, and the station of Ibrahim will be in front of you, between you and the Kaaba. Alright? Which you're going to make 2 rak'at. Okay? You will make 2 rak'at here in the station, behind the station of Ibrahim. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back to the corner where is the black stone, and he kissed it or he touched it. It depends if he can reach it or not. And after this, when you finish the tawaf, the two rak'at, touching the Ka'b, the corner. Now we will go to Safa and Marwa. So if we imagine that this is the Ka'b in front of us, this is the black stone. So the direction, actually, if you stand like this with the black stone right away behind your back and you go straight like this, this will be the Safa in this direction. It's walking distance, and you're going to go between the Safa and the Marwa. So you're going to leave the Kaaba going this way, and now the Safa and Marwa going in this direction. It's a straight way that you're going to walk between them. So after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the tawaf, he made the two rak'at behind the station of Ibrahim, he came back to the Kaaba and he kissed the black stone. He left from here and he went to where? To As-Safa. And while he was going to the Safa, he recited the verse from the Quran, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah. Indeed, the Safa, which is the name of a mountain, and the Marwa is the other mountain, okay, min Sha'airillah, are one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let him, whosoever go for Umrah or Hajj, to make tawaf. That means to walk between them. So, and he said, I will start with what Allah start with. Because the verse said, Inna Safa wal Marwata. So, which mountain Allah named first in Quran? Safa. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will start with what Allah start with. Okay? So I will go and start with what? With the Safa. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to on the Safa. This is little bit hill, like a small mountain, okay? You will still can see the mountain there and you will go on it. And after this you will recite this dua, look into the Kaaba, okay? You can't see the Kaaba from there. It's easy, you can see it, okay? And you look to the Kaaba, facing the Kaaba, and you will say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa la alhamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. La ilaha illallah, anjaza wahda, wa nasara abda, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda, that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no partner beside him. To him is the dominion and the praise, and he is able to do all things. There is no deity beside Allah. He fulfilled his promise. He gave victory to his slave, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he conquered all the troops and the enemies by him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by himself. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made supplication. And after this, he recites this dua again, and he made supplication. And after this he recites the dua again and he made supplication for three times, and all this he still were on the mountain of As-Safa. And after this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come down from the Safa and start to walk. In actuality I will go later on in details, but we here to specifically to explain the hadith. But later on that you will learn that you're supposed to be making dhikr, reciting Quran, whatever it is, while you're going until you reach the Marwa. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was all the way down in the valley between the Safa and the Marwa, start go faster, okay? And you will know these things by indications. There is two green lights there. So now we can imagine like two hills like this here. So let's imagine that this is Safa and this is Marwa. Okay? And there is a distance between both of them. It's supposed to be, you go here, you stand, and you say this dua, and after this you come down and you walk until you reach here. Here, in about almost one third of the distance, you will see indication, two green lights, which everybody, very easy to see it. When you reach this destination, this mark, you will start to go a little bit faster until you go to the other green light. We're going to go more in details about these things, but I'm dealing with the hadith now. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came close to the other mountain, which is al-Marwa, and he did the same thing like he did what? On the Safa. That in the Safa wal Marwa min sha'airillah, indeed the Safa and the Marwa, okay, are from the signs which Allah had put it for mankind and all these things. And you will say it, and again you will make dua and repeat the verse again, you make dua, you say the verse again, you make dua and you say the verse again. And after this you leave the mountain of Marwa and you will come back to Safa. Okay? When you reach to these two green lights, you will go faster in walking. Okay? And this applies to men and women. When you pass this second green light, you will start walking normally. When you come closer to the Safa, you will recite the verse, Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah, and you go there on the hill there and you recite this verse again and make dua, look into the Kaaba three times, and you come back again and you will repeat this seven times. And after this, is longer than what it is, and is the eighth day of Dhul Hijjah. Dhul Hijjah is the 12th, the last month of the Islamic calendar. So the eighth day of that month, called Yawm Tarwiyah, the day of watering or regating or whatever, okay? That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will leave Mecca. He was in Mecca at that time, okay? First he came from Medina. He made the tawaf. He made the sa'i. So the day of Tarwiyah, and he stayed in Mecca. The eighth day, he went to Mina. And in Mina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prays and Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, and Fajr. So he performed five prayers there in Mina. And he waited a little bit in Mina until the sun rise a little bit, and after this he moved towards Arafah. Okay? So this will be the day what? The ninth days. If you look in the doors, cut him from. So Yawm Tarwiyah is the eighth, which you go to Mina. Okay? You be there for Zohr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr. You don't leave Mina until the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. Okay? When do you leave? Approximately something like 8 o'clock in the morning. And you will go towards Arafah. But you don't go immediately to Arafah. You go there in a place called Namira, which is not part of Arafah. Okay? This in Muzdalifah. And in Muzdalifah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thank you. in Muzdalifa, which is very close, Namira is very close to Arafah, but outside is the city of Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Zuhr and Asr. He combines the prayer together with one adhan and two iqama, one iqama for Zuhr and one iqama for Asr. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave a speech, he gave khutbah, okay, to the people. And he said that he didn't make any prayer between them, he didn't make any sunnah between Zuhr and Asr. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to Arafah, to the city itself, which Arafah, and he was inside there while he was facing the Qibla, the direction of the Kaaba. And he continued standing there until sunset. What day is this?
19.
The 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the last month, and the day is the 9th. When do you enter Arafah? When you enter Arafah, the 9 days, but when, what time? After praying Zuhr and Asr. You pray Zuhr and Asr out of the city limit of Arafah. This place called between Muzdalifa and Arafah in Namira. Okay? And after you pray Zuhr and Asr combining together in the time of Zuhr, you will enter Arafah. Okay? In Arafah, how long are you going to be there? Until sunset. Until sunset. And this is one of the major part of Hajj. Attending Arafah. Being in Arafah. What does it mean to attend Arafah? To be there in the city of Arafah. Doesn't matter if you are inside the car, inside the bus, on a camel, sitting under a tent, laying down, the main thing that you be inside this city. What you can do there, you make tasbih, you read Quran, you make dua, whatever it is, that you occupy yourself with the remembrance of Allah. The attendance of Arafah is a major part of Hajj. If you miss it, you could not make Hajj. Okay? Alaykum as-salam. The proper way is that when you be there, that you be facing the Qibla. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued like this until sun set and the yellowish color disappear. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to take his journey back again. Okay, after sunset, he didn't pray now in Arafah. Okay, sunset there disappear completely. Now we start going back. And you're supposed to take it easy, don't disturb the people, don't drive fast, don't speed, no disturbance, take your time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was saying to the people, O people, alaykum as-sakina, take your time, take it easy, don't rush. Okay? And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reached to Al-Muzdalifa. Okay? So you have Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafah. So what is the closer to Mecca is Mina. You leave Mecca, you go to Mina. Mina to Muzdalifa, Muzdalifa to Arafah. You leave Arafah, you come to Muzdalifa. You leave Muzdalifa, you come to Mina. You leave Mina, you go to Mecca. Okay? So now, after sunset in the 9th, he start to come to where? To Muzdalifa. And in Muzdalifah, what do? You pray Maghrib and Isha together. You combine them together. And is no anything recommended to be done there except for you to rest. Okay? This is the best thing to do for you, that because you're just coming from a journey and you've been going through all these things for 2-3 days, so now it's time for you, when you reach Muzdalifah, you're going to make Maghrib and Isha, and you should go to sleep or rest yourself, relax yourself. And that you make this, you combine Maghrib and Isha in the time of Isha, 1 Adhan and 2 Iqama. No sunnahs between Maghrib and Isha for that time. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lay down until Fajr. Anybody remember what day is this now? This is the 10th now. Fajr is the 10th now. And he prayed Fajr where? In Muzdalifah. In Muzdalifah. And he waited until little bit before sunrise, and he went to a station called Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram. Okay? And he went there and he faced the Qibla and he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make supplication, takbir and all these things, and he continued standing there until almost sunrise. And after this he went towards, in his way, to Mina. In his way he passed by a place called Bat Muhsar, and he started to go fasting faster. Why? Because this is a place of punishment. Some tribes been punished before from the nations before. And this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, that when we pass by any places that we know that a generation been punished there before, that we go fast. Because like places of Ayat, places of Thamud. And the crazy things now, that people make a tourist site out of this nowadays. They go be standing there and taking pictures and all kind of things. A believer, when he go in a places like this, he will go fast. He doesn't go stand there and taking pictures and having Pepsi and chatting there, and people giving him the history of who built this and who been killed here and who that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the earth sink down with them in this place and we found this and that. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches this area called Batn al-Mahsar, he went faster. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached to Al-Jamratul Kubra, okay? And he called Jamra because this is a place for collection for like the rocks and pebbles and things like this, where you throw these pebbles. And there are 3 of them. So the closer one to Muzdalifah, and the farther one from Mecca, we call it Al-Jamratul Kubra, the greatest Jamra, or the greatest stone place. And when he went there, he threw 7 pebbles on it. With each one he say, Allahu Akbar. And he described in this hadith how big is these pebbles, okay? How big it is?
Big stone.
Maybe big stone, little bit big, okay? Is like almost like a fava beans or one of these small beans, okay? Something that if it come in somebody's head, it doesn't go and hurt to him. 7 pebbles. And with each one he said what? Allahu Akbar. And he threw 7 times. What day it is?
This is the thing. So what time it is? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made Fajr in Muzdalifah. He went to the Mash'ar al-Haram. He stood there remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until almost sunrise. And after this he moved to his way to Mina. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ was riding his camel. So you can imagine, you understand, how much time this. So let's say approximately that you will be there, let's say, about 10 o'clock in the morning. What day? The 10th. And this what we call it what? The first day of Eid. This is the day of Eid. Okay? This is the day what we hear every place else is the day of Eid. And this is the first, this will be what? The 10th of Dhul Hijjah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw these 7 tables with each one, he said, Allahu Akbar. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to the slaughtering place, okay, and he sacrificed his animal. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ride his camel and he went to Mecca. What day it is? The 10th. Approximately this when? Almost like Zuhr time, okay? And he pray in Mecca Zuhr. Okay? So when he reached to Mecca, he made tawaf around the Kaaba. And this is called tawaf al-ifada. Tawaf al-ifada. And this important part of your Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ didn't make sa'i after this between Safa and Marwa. Why? Anybody know? Because he already made sa'i when he came from Medina, you remember? We said the Prophet came and after this he went around the Kaaba, and when he finished he went to Safa and Marwa. Okay? So, and after this in the 8th days he went to Mina, the 9th days he went to Arafah, and he returned back. So after this when he come back, he threw the tables, he sacrificed his animal, he went to Mecca, he made tawaf around the Kaaba 7 times, and this he finished his Hajj. He finished his Hajj. This what I'm saying, that what it comes in the hadith, okay? This is correct what he's saying. A person will through the peoples, a person will slaughter his animal, a person will shave his head, okay, or cut his hair short, and will go to make tawaf. There is an order to these things, and there is certain things can be done, but in this hadith he didn't mention this, and I don't want to add anything, but it will come in the other hadith. Thank you. Hadith number 608, we're going to leave it alone. The hadith is weak. Hadith number 608, page 260. The hadith is weak, we're going to leave it alone. Hadith number 609, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحرتها هنا ومنا كلها منحر فانحروا في رحالكم ووقفتها هنا وعرف كلها موقف ووقفتها هنا وجمع كلها موقف. So page 260, the hadith is weak, we're going to leave it alone. Hadith number 609, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحرتها هنا ومنا كلها
منحر فانحروا في رحالكم ووقفتها هنا وعرف كلها موقف ووقفتها هنا وجمع كلها موقف.